position number 22905, wheel 1.
This is the first reel of a taped interview with Dick Ridgewell in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 31st of the 1st, 2002, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Dick, could we begin the interview by you telling us your full name and where and when you were born, please?
It's Richard William Ridgewell. Born on the 25th of the 1st, 1918, in Newcastle Street, West Perth.
Tell us a little bit about your family background, if you can.
Well, my people had just come down from the goldfields at that time. They'd been on the goldfields, and they'd just come down, and I was born about a week later. And then from there we moved to North Fremantle. And then,
what would be some of your strongest memories, do you think, of where you grew up?
Or nothing, I think, at that age, of course, because I was only a baby. But then we moved up to East Perth, Parry Street in East Perth, and went to East Perth School. I started school at East Perth School at six. And then from there, in 1926, we went up to Condunnan for a year, stayed up there for a year, and came back, and then moved into Perth, West Perth, Church Street, West Perth, and... From there, I went to James Street School, and that closed down at the beginning of sixth standard. And I went then to Highgate School for the last 12 months of my schooling. And we lived just round the corner from in Highgate in Lane Street. And then from there, I after 12 months there, I went to work.
What was your father's occupation?
Well, my father was a motor mechanic. He's done everything, of course, and prior to that he was a cordial maker up in the fields, but when he came down, he became a motor mechanic, worked at Winterbottom Motor Company on the corner of St. George's Terrace and Mill Street for many years. And from there, he went to work for... No, that was prior... Yeah, then he went to work for Moore & Sons. He used to deliver the West Australian newspaper early hours in the morning. Or he did, for a start he was delivering, that's right. And then from there he went into the West Australian newspaper employee and was there wrapping newspapers for distribution around the state.
Can you give us an idea of what Perth was like? You obviously sort of spent quite a lot of time around Perth and in Perth, Northbridge, and places like that.
I can tell you. Well, I lived and bred and had plenty of Perth. I knew all about Perth. The old Horseshoe Bridge, at the end where the markets used to be there, the fish markets there at the end of the Horseshoe Bridge. All along Wellington Street, I can remember Bones and I can go right back. I knew Perth very well.
Was it a busy place, would you say?
No, it was so little busy that I can remember coming home from Perth one time with my dad in a car and the steering went. So we walked all the way up William Street, right up to Brisbane Street with me kicking the front wheel to keep the thing straight to get it home. To go around corners, so there's very little traffic.
So it was a sleepy old place, was it?
Oh, beautiful sleepy old town. Trams, two widths of trams run up Hay Street. And trams went everywhere, right out all lengths of town.
For those who don't know, Hay Street is mainly a mall these days, main part of it.
Well, the part that's a mall now used to have a double tramway down it, tram line down it. It's go right to Subiaco and down right out to Victoria Park.
What would have been the main hobbies that you would have had as a young bloke? Growing up in a place like
Well, kids,
past your spare time.
Kids in my time didn't have hobbies, of course. We were battling to live all the time. It was life was pretty tough for our parents those days, and a minimum wage. And we played sport. We rode push bikes, and we used to go down the river a lot and fishing and those sort of things. And, as kids. We had a much freer hand in those days. We walked for miles. You know, nothing to walk in down the river to fish and walk home again, out the end of North Perth somewhere.
Do you think you... What would you have liked to have done? What did you aim to do as a career, do you think, as you grew up?
Well, those days you just didn't have any ambitions for a career. You wanted to go to school and then get a job. That was about what it was. But, one ambition I did have, I wanted to save up £1,000, and I wanted to either go into a country pub or a local open air garden theatre. That was my ambition. Well, I could have done it with £1,000, of course, but £1,000 a lot those days. Yeah.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you, as growing up as a young bloke, whether you were encouraged at all to join scouts or anything like that.
Well, any of those things like that were all variable. Because we couldn't afford them, so your parents couldn't afford those things. But everybody that could would join the Boy Scouts. That was something. There wasn't much else you could do. We used to go and collect bottles, of course, and make a few bob that way.
Things like Boy Scouts. What sorts of things would you learn in the Boy Scouts?
Oh well, they used to teach you the normal things of now, I imagine, and discipline, respect, the knowledge of the Boy Scout thing, and rope knots, and all those sorts of things, just general kids growing up.
Did you know anything about the CMF at all?
Yes, I joined the CMF when I was about, well, it wasn't CMF then, I can't think what it was, but it was voluntary army. I joined at about 17, 18 years old, in the Royal Australian Engineers, that's right.
Why do you think you joined the CMF, or what it was called at that stage?
Well, because my mates were, there was something to do, and at teenager there wasn't much to do, and they were in it. We used to go every Thursday night after the barracks in Francis Street, and then we used to have a place out of Midland we used to go to for a fortnight, and then we were the second crowd to ever go into Northern Camp. There was one crowd before us, and we went in and we built a few little bridges and toilets and things, you know, being amateur engineers. But I was in that for some years.
I was interested to find out whether you were encouraged to join the CMF because of an attitude possibly that society had towards the military.
It was more of something to do, somewhere to go, some interest. You could play sport, you could go to the pictures Friday night, and that was about your limit. You go swimming, of course, there was plenty of swimming, but it was something to do, some interest, and we're mates were in it, and so we got together.
What sort of attitudes do you think there were in the community generally about the First World War as you grew up? What was the sort of perception you had about it?
Well, I was born the year the war finished, and there was very, very little of it. You knew, I had an uncle that was in there, you heard, but as young people, we never heard much about it. There was never much discussion. A lot of blokes with one leg in those days and one arm, but which you didn't see from this war. But no, it was never a lot of interest taken.
How are those chaps seen, the ones that sort of you saw with one arm, one leg, that sort of thing?
Oh, well, those blokes all got a job as a lift driver in those days, and lift driver and you work generally, you know, whatever job you could get. Because work wasn't easy to get those days.
How are things like Anzac Day celebrated?
Never as much as it is today. There's much, much more interest today than there was those days. We used to go in into there, the dawn service. I wore my first pair of long pants for the dawn service.
What age do you think it would have been?
Oh, 16, 15, 16 years, I suppose. And
what sort of feeling did the dawn service have at the age of 15?
Well, not a terrible lot of interest, really, because we were only teenagers and our interest weren't... There wasn't a lot of interest in the wars those days. It was over and forgotten, not like today, where they'd bring it up more often than that. But it was just wasn't much interest at all in it.
The age of 15, it would have been 1933.
Yeah, around about there, yeah.
The Depression had sort of been and was possibly petering out.
Yeah.
How had the Depression sort of affected you?
Well, we were lucky. My dad worked right through the Depression, but of course the wages were very minor, and we lived very frugally. I remember our favourite thing when we came home from school at night was to get up the stale piece of crust with dripping on it and some salt and pepper. That was our favourite, and that's about all you could afford, you know. There wasn't much. Money was very, very scarce. I used to go and sell newspapers after over night time, do a round, sell newspapers, and that money had to go into the house. I used to run out a penny to buy something on the way around, and the rest had to go back into the house. It wasn't for me like it is for kids today, you know.
The general community that you lived in, how did you see that being affected by the Depression? What sorts of signs did you see around you?
Well, we all lived it. We lived it, we saw it, and it was just natural with us. I know, I remember going to school, I didn't have a shirt. I used to wear a sort of a bib because we couldn't afford a shirt. And our clothes used to be washed almost every night, so we'd have them ready for the next day. But everybody was the same, so nobody worried. I remember I got a, during the Depression, I got a pushback. It cost a pound, and that was big money. And I was one of the lucky ones. I used to nick him with my sister to school. That's all the way to James Street School. But
I wanted to discuss with you, whether you had any interest as you grew up in the outside world. Did you, for instance, know how the Depression had affected other parts of the world?
Well, it was just normal. It was just there. It just happened, and we lived. We were brought up in it. And interest, we used to go yachting, and we used to play sports. It was those days you played as much sport as you like in the streets. You played footy and cricket and everything else up and down the streets. And there was nobody, very little traffic.
In the mid-30s, for instance, was there any interest in Europe at all that you knew about, or did you have a care about?
No, wouldn't know a thing about Europe. We were too busy living our own life and make and do, but Europe, anywhere else.
In regards to the First World War, how are the Germans being seen?
Well, I can only remember one German kid, and that's when we were up in Condinnen, and I don't think anything happened with them. If they'd have been, things were very normal. The war was forgotten. It was all over, and people just lived their normal life.
When was the first time you heard anything about Hitler, for instance?
Oh, 1937, 38. It was a bit of news then, and at that time I was, that's about all I'd heard. It wasn't of much interest. It was the war did never look like starting, but.
Coming up to 20 around that time, I suppose.
Yeah. I was around about 20 years age, yeah.
What would you have been doing at that time?
Well, I had worked originally, my first job was working as a tobacconist, also as a tobacconist, as the local boys to sweep the front footpath and everything. And then I worked for a while in a garage, office boy and handyman. Then I got a job at Barnacloth Rubber Company in Hay Street. 891 Hay Street, I remember that. And from there, when I turned 21, I got the sack because they got rid of you when you turned 21. You didn't get a chance to. Matter of fact, prior to that, I had to go into hospital and have my tonsils out. So I asked for the weekend, the Friday and the Monday off, so I could have the weekend to have my tonsils out. And old Norm Raphael, he was the manager, old Norm sacked me. And he said, we'll put you off and we'll give you a job again when you come back over the weekend. But I was sick for a long time after, it got quite serious. And it didn't matter, I still got my job back later on, eventually. But either you're there at work or you didn't get any. If you didn't get any sick days and those sort of things. And then after that, I was 37, 38. I went up to the goldfields. Work was hard to get. I was out of work. I went up to Leonora to work on the Sons of Gawler mine. And from there I joined up.
What was the atmosphere out in the goldfields? How did that differ from Perth, for instance?
Oh, friendly, friendship, loyalty, you know. all hearty, and we had the State Hotel there, of course. As soon as you knocked off, that was the State Hotel, was our meeting place. And we used to drink the real old, real Hammond beer those days. And I was there for 3 or 4 years or something, and then joined up from there.
Tell us then what you knew about the coming of the Second World War. When did you realise that war was on the make?
The night war was declared, we're all in the State Hotel, all enjoying ourselves as young blokes do. And we got enough in us that we all decided we'd go in and join up. So we went to town, which was 2 miles away, and pulled the road board secretary out of bed to join up. And of course he wasn't very popular, he got the police to send us home again. So we went back the next day and all made our applications. Well, there was no preparation, they weren't ready for us, but we went back and they got all the necessary stuff in and we applied, and something like 12 months before they called us up.
So this was September the 4th, 1939, The night after Menzies made his announcement?
No, this was the night war was declared.
Okay. But you actually joined up the following day?
We went to join up. Mm. But they didn't have any facilities, anything at all. The Rose Board way out, we were 360 miles northeast of Perth. And they had no facilities, but they got it all eventually and took our applications. And because we worked on the mines, they were getting so many applications those days, volunteers right and left, that they didn't need us. So we didn't go in until 1940.
So what do you think you knew about at the time in relation to why there was a war?
Well, being young blokes, just under 21, just turned 21, it was an interest, but it was going on. Matter of fact, we bought a little old ute to go to town to the mobbers, and we called it Ajax, because after the sinking of the Ajax. Somewhere, I'm trying to get me something over there with the Navy, the Italian Navy, it's only here. But we were interested, we heard the general news, but it was nothing special to us. We were anxious to join up, that was all.
Why do you think you felt as though you should join up?
Because my mates were joined. Everybody did it. We all volunteered. It was something new. Life was pretty dull, and any new excitement, anything. And we didn't join up for king and country. We volunteered for something different, something to do.
I'm interested to sort of get the attitude of the general blokes that you knew about Australia and the situation with the empire. How did you feel about all of that?
Never knew much about it really. Didn't know much about the empire at all. Only what we'd sort of learnt at school, and we knew that when the war was on, we were going to be involved with England.
Did you feel as though it was something that you were expected to do?
No. We did it because it was something new to do. It was something. See, we were young blokes with plenty of life, plenty of health, plenty of money those days, I suppose. I used to earn £20 a fortnight. I worked on the skip and I used to clear £20 a fortnight, which was big money. We had no king and country ambitions, I don't think. None of us. It was something new. If somebody had offered us a job for, riding a horse from here to Sydney or something, we'd have snapped that up too.
Did you know who your enemy was?
Well, of course, immediately, see, there was such a lot of Italians and Slavs where we were. We worked on the mine. And when war was declared, the first thing they did was to intern the Italians who weren't naturalised. Well, they were personal friends. They were people we worked with, they were personal friends, they were the same as us. There was nothing malicious about it. Anyhow, they put them in the local town hall. It was a little hall we had. They were locked up in there, but they spent all their time walking from there up to the pub and backwards again, and we visited them there, and it was... And there was nobody that we were malicious about, because we were with them all. They were close friends. My closest friend was an Italian boy.
So you saw that the Italians were your enemy?
Well, we only because they said so in England, that's all.
What about the Germans? What did you know about them?
where the old German Jack that was up there with us, he was the only German I knew, and he worked underground with us and just lived with us side by side, played footy with us and so forth, and didn't make any difference.
How did he sort of feel about things like that, about the war?
I think he'd been out here that long that he was a good Australian as anybody, you know. He had one daughter, and she used to work in the Savoy Hotel in Perth. But no difference. They were just people, same as us. But as I say, with all these blokes that were locked up in the hall, then they were taken away eventually into an internment camp. But we were more sorry to see them go than anything. And we looked after their wives and children because they were personal friends.
Tell us then, what was involved in you joining up? You mentioned that you had to wait a while; they weren't ready for you. When you did join up, did you know what you were joining up to do?
No, no idea at all. We just knew we were going to the army. We were told. I left a fortnight before all the others because my people were in Perth and I wanted to come down and have a time with them. But they all got together up there, and they had a special train to run them from up there and pick them up in Kalgoorlie, and a full train load come down to Perth. And we went down and joined up in at the showgrounds.
What was that like?
Oh, interesting, confusion. All your mates, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and first thought was how we get out to go and have a night out somewhere. We were locked in and not used to it, but. It was most interesting. We learnt such a lot, you know, of life, in with other people, living with other people, in tents, and made good friends.
What did your family, what did your people think of you joining up?
Well, they weren't terribly happy, of course, but it wasn't much the parents could do those days. I was 20 years of age, and I'd been living away from home, and they were worried, naturally worried because of the war, but we didn't know what we were going to or what we were doing. We just volunteered for something new.
So what sorts of equipment were you decked out with?
Well, we went into showgrounds down to Claremont, and we were issued with a full issue of clothing, hat, boots and clothing, and knives, forks and spoons, and complete and total everything. Our clothing was taken away and stored. I don't know where it went to. We never got it back. But we became soldiers there, started general training and so forth. And then from there we went down to 2G way down there. There was a big camp down there. And you learnt to be soldiers. You learnt to march and handle rifles and so forth. And then from there we went up to Northam.
So 2G is south of Fremantle.
Just south of Fremantle, yeah.
What sorts of things did you do down at Coogee?
Marched and learnt rules and regulations, and learned how to handle a rifle, how to clean it. It was the most busiest thing, I suppose. We just did all those things, ate well, and made good friends again, and was very, very friendly crowd all, everybody. There was very few fights or arguments individually, because everybody was in the same boat. Everybody was had the same things to do, and there we were.
Now, did you feel well equipped, for instance, to put up with fighting a German enemy?
Well, we were learning. That's all. We didn't. We had no idea. Of course, we were only ex-miners, young blokes, fit as fiddles, and we didn't know what the war was or anything about it, really.
By the time you joined up, what were some of the main things that you can recall having happened already during the first year or so of the war?
Well, as I say, we went finished going to Northam, and then from Northam we did individual schools. I did a corporal school, I did a physical training school, And then from that I went to Melbourne to finish off, and came back with some stripes for that, and then we trained there as something like 12 months, I think, in Northern, best part of. And then the 2nd 4th Machine Gun Battalion, which had just come round from the east, it was all West Australian though, came into Fremantle and they wanted reinforcements, and we went on board as reinforcements. We reinforced the battalion, went straight to Singapore. Well, we didn't go straight, we went on the Aquitania, and then went up to around Christmas Island, way up there, and we changed from there over to three little Dutch ships and sailed into Singapore, and the war was on when we got in there.
Before we go there, had you had any understanding of the situation in Europe at all by that stage? There had been a bit of a lull between 39 and the sort of situation in 1940, around about the time of Dunkirk in May. Had you sort of heard about those sorts of things?
Yeah, we heard. We knew all about the war. We knew all that was going on, and we knew that blokes were were pulling out of Northern, different battalions, different companies, reinforcements all pulling out of Northern and going. And of course, we were all jealous of them. Everybody wanted to get away quick, but you had to wait your turn.
Why do you think you were jealous?
We were jealous of them getting away to the war. That was all. They were going away to do what we joined up for, and we were anxious to do the same. Not a jealousy, I suppose, as good as any, but we were all anxious to get overseas. We hadn't seen overseas. We'd never seen out of Perth.
Tell us then what it was like sort of in the training process. Did they tell you at all what to expect in relation to going overseas and fighting an enemy?
Well, we had what they called W men. They were soldiers from the previous war, from the World One War, who trained us, taught us, and of course they told us their stories of what they'd happened and what would happen to us, and they just made us able to handle things, to shoot, to handle rifles and shoot and learn all our different machinery and stuff. It's necessary for the war. But we knew it was all going on. We were anxious to get at it, that was all.
Tell us then, did you go to Darwin at all?
No.
No,
I joined the Aquitania and Fremantle and went straight over to Singapore.
Tell us then the preparation to leave. What was involved in actually leaving Perth?
Oh, about less than a week prior to sailing, they got us all together and said, righto, picked out a crowd, so you're reinforcements for the 2nd 4th. And then we, early one morning, we got marched into town, caught a train right through to Fremantle.
What was the feeling on the train heading off to Fremantle, knowing you were finally heading off?
Oh, we were all thrilled a bit, so that's what we wanted. We all wanted to go to the war, not knowing much about the war, of course, but we wanted to go. And we the boat to Fremantle, the train to Fremantle, and then got straight onto small boats and took us out the Aquitania, which was anchored out of town, out of the harbour. The 2nd 4th were all West Australians, and they've been 12 months away around Australia training everywhere, and this is their first time back to Perth, and they weren't allowed leave. They were anchored out. So there was almost a riot, and any supply boats that came out to supply water or fuel or anything else, they all went back loaded with deserters, as you might call them. Hundreds went ashore. And they all came back. There's a few missed, but they all came back and looking to get on the boat again when we sailed, came away. But they were getting on one side of the boat, and we were getting on one side, they were getting off the other.
When you left Fremantle, was there any kind of celebration? Was there any band playing or anything like that?
No, very quietly. We just off the train, on the boat, and out. Yeah.
Was there a bit of a letdown that there wasn't actually a sort of goodbye?
No, we were so anxious to get into the war. That was all. We were just thrilled to bits to get on board. That was all.
What was it like to be heading out towards the Aquitania? This is a pretty big ship.
Well, it was to us the biggest ship we'd ever seen. And we were on smaller lighters, just take it out there. And I suppose we were all in a bit of a daze. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just going and we were glad to get joining up to it. So we went on board and...
How did you get on board?
Oh, through a hole in the side of the ship. They pulled up and we went in through the side, and then... We were given a billet. As a matter of fact, we were right in the bottom of the ship because we were all new on board. And then a couple of days out at sea, they pulled some of us out and put us into the battalion proper.
What were the conditions like I presume below the
Hot as hell. It was really hot and stuffy and so forth. So we used to come and sleep on deck every night. But it was just chock-a-block full of soldiers, no matter where you turned, you know.
Were you near the engine below?
Well, I think, we couldn't have been below it, but we were about the same floor, same depth down, I suppose, but we were right forward, and it was only artificial ventilation. But didn't worry us that much. It was a new life, a new existence, and